ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And today, as we lose ourselves in His love on another beautiful Thursday, I'm so happy to continue this series, Beacons of Prashanthi Nilayam, narrating the story of Mrs. Kantamma Garu, Surya Kantamma Garu, someone who served in the canteen for decades, right from the 60s, and even now at the ripe age of 85, independent, strong, motivated, and continuously mentoring hundreds of sevadals to dedicate their lives in Bhagwan's mission, in Bhagwan's work. Every time I sit down and have a conversation with Surya Kantamma Garu, you see how tears roll down her cheeks as she remembers those golden days. You see how her being pulsates with love for Bhagwan. You see a life which has just been a silent saga of service, and sacrifice. I told you how at the young age of 17, she became a single mother, and from then on dedicated herself to serving the people of India. She became a sarpanch, the head of the village, and later on an official in the district, in the Jilla Parishad, at a time when hardly any women in India were working, getting government jobs. Even though she was not highly educated, but she had great entrepreneurial spirit, coming from a family of freedom fighters. Her father, her husband, both lost their lives fighting for the nation. That fighting spirit, that passion to serve was always there in her. At the same time, equally vibrant was her fiery devotion to the Lord. I've shared with you how she saw her Panduranga in Bhagwan and how that changed her life completely. In the Shivratri of 1961, she had her first darshan of Bhagwan. Rather, first conversation in the interview room. And in 1963, she was part of Bhagwan's entourage when Bhagwan went to Srisailam and so many sacred places. I told you about the trip to Bhadrachalam that happened in 1964 and how Bhagwan asked her to be a part of the group. How he created a special place for her, even though the members for the trip was all set and fixed. 50 people, Swami said, no, make it 51, and included Surya Kantamma Garu. She had the opportunity of traveling with Swami to Bhadrachalam. And after this trip concluded, when they returned to Prashanthi Nilayam, Bhagwan gave personal interviews to everyone. And she took this opportunity to ask Swami about the Upanayanam, the sacred thread ceremony of her son. In fact, after the Bhadrachalam trip, Swami told everyone to come to Vrindavan first, because Bhagwan's house was being inaugurated with a few new rooms added. Bhagwan wanted her to be part of the occasion. She stayed in Vrindavan from Ugadi till Ram Navami. It was during this time that she asked Swami about the thread ceremony of her only son. And Bhagwan graciously said, "Yes, we must have it done." The boy was 12 years old, and in fact that is the right age for getting the sacred thread. In Indian tradition, when the boy is 9, 10, 11, 12, the sacred thread is invested in the boy. Gayatri Mantra is chanted and the boy is initiated onto the divine path. The boy is told, "Yes, you have your parents, you have your siblings, but know that your true connection is with the divine." And that is symbolized by that sacred thread. It's a very, very significant, very important ceremony for all the children in India. And when she prayed to Bhagwan that Swami should perform this ceremony for her son, Swami said, "Yes, I will do it here, but you get it done in your village and after that you come here." Swami said, "All your relatives are there. The boy has all his uncles and everyone there. You must do a grand function." Swami gave the date. "Do it in May 1964, the day of Shankara Jayanti, the day when Adi Shankaracharya was born." Bhagwan said, "You do it on that day." And I told you how Bhagwan mentioned, "I will send my Shakti. You do the program there, I will send my power," Swami had said. Because when Swami said that, there is nothing else that Kantamma Garu could pray for. She went back to her village Satyavada and she started making preparations for the ceremony. Bhagwan had said that it must be a very elaborate one. Swami had said, "You perform the thread ceremony. When it is time for the boy's marriage, that I will do entirely." And so Kantamma Garu went back to her village and started making all the arrangements for the performance of this thread ceremony on the appointed date that Swami had mentioned. In the previous episode, I told you how she had redone her house in 1963 when she had prayed to Bhagwan that Swami should come to her house. Swami had said, I will come. And so she immediately had started making preparations for that visit of Bhagwan. I told you how she fought with the government officials and got a school constructed. A high school. I have shared with you how it was so difficult for children of that area to do higher education, higher schooling. There was no place for them to study if they finished their fifth grade. And they had to travel 10 kilometers. And when she noticed that children were not able to do the journey, or even if they do the journey, many times they just get diverted and they don't regularly go to school. That's when it struck her that she must have a high school in her village, and how she put her foot down and got this done for her village in spite of so many challenges. Challenges from within the village, the rich men opposing it because they will lose cheap labor to government officials not cooperating. Way back in 1960, she had that indomitable will to do good for society, and she got it done. So when that school happened, she moved all the children from the elementary school to her brother's house and started the high school in that elementary school. And later on, with more support from the government, she constructed more rooms, and of course the school over the years has blossomed into a full-fledged, beautiful school, taking care of the education of children of 10-15 villages in and around Satyavada, her village. So all these arrangements had been done in 64, and when Bhagwan said that you do the thread ceremony of your son there, her house was now all done up, because she had already started preparing for Bhagwan's visit. She invited all the important people of the area, given that she was part of the Jilla Parishad, the district government office. She invited so many ministers, MLAs, members of Legislative Assembly and collector and everyone. And she had made beautiful arrangements to serve all of them. A couple of days before itself, she had prepared so many varieties of sweets, cleaned that whole area. Before she left for the function, Bhagwan told her, on the morning of the thread ceremony day, before the formal puja happens, early in the morning itself, you give Matru Bhiksha to the boy. In thread ceremony, one ritual is where the mother offers alms to the boy. When the boy is invested with the sacred thread, he becomes a sannyas, he becomes a recluse, so to speak, and he symbolically lives on alms. And all the ladies present offer alms to the boy, to the Vatu, as they say. And it is a mother who first offers alms. So Swami said, generally this Upanayanam ceremony is done with the parents being there beside the child. Swami said, even before the formal puja happens, you cannot be there for the formal puja because husband and wife both have to be there. And since her husband had passed on, her brother and her wife were supposed to do all the ceremonies. But Swami said, early in the morning itself, you go to the puja room, you garland my photo there, and you stand there and you ask the boy to seek alms, and you give the Matru Bhiksha. So Bhagwan was saying, no matter what is happening on the stage outside, I am the parent of the child. You garland my photo, and in principle, the thread ceremony would be done. Later on, what happens is only for other people. And that is what Bhagwan had mentioned, and that is what Kantamma garu did too. But for her, since Bhagwan had said that I will send my Shakti, she was wondering how will Bhagwan come. When Bhagwan has said that he is sending his power, which means he will be present, in her mind, the vision of the divine was an old man, an old pious Brahmin person. And she had informed all her relatives and everyone that if you find any old Brahmin, please let me know. Somehow she felt that Bhagwan would come in that form. She had informed all the people who were there manning different gates of that hall, of that function. She finished at 4 a.m. the Matru Bhiksha that Swami had told. No one was there. It was only her, herself, the boy, and Swami's photo. And then 6 a.m. the formal function started on the stage where all with all the rituals. She had finished all the cooking early in the morning. Only rice was left, and that was being done. And as this last item was being prepared, a cook there who was busy in the kitchen completing the cooking process, as he was taking a log of wood, in those days all the cooking happened with wood, we are talking about 60s, when this cook pulled a log of wood from the pile of logs, to his utter amazement, he saw a snake emerging out of that heap of wood. And the snake was strange. The snake immediately raised its hood and was erect. And this cook was so struck with fear, he did not know what to do. So he, with that same log of wood, he hit that snake in that instant. And when the snake was hit, the snake that had the mark of the feet of Krishna, the cobra snake, the snake just lay down and became quiet, absolutely still, no movement. Immediately after this, something strange started happening. There was one lady, one old lady in the group, who suddenly started speaking. You could make out that she was not her own self. It was as if someone had possessed her. It was as if someone was speaking through her. She was completely behaving in such a strange manner. And she started saying, "My head is hurting, my head is hurting." Nobody knew what to do. And when this was informed to Kantamma garu, she came there. And the moment this lady said, "My head is hurting," Kantamma garu was so aware, and it was Bhagwan's grace that she intuitively felt the connection between the snake being hit and this lady now crying and saying that she is hurt, and she knew that it was not the lady. It is some power that has possessed this lady. And she connected everything immediately. Bhagwan had told that he will send his Shakti. And she started crying now, Kantamma garu, because she felt that Bhagwan had come in the form of the snake, and this cook, he didn't realize he hit that snake, and now this lady is crying. Bhagwan is communicating through this lady that I have hurt him. And so she started crying inconsolably, and she started speaking, and she started saying, oh Swami, when did you come? When did you come?" And that lady started, "I came early in the morning. I came 4 o'clock itself, and I've been there. I've been seeing everything." And Kantamma garu said, "You could have told me, Swami, that you are coming in this form. You know, unfortunately, what a sad thing has happened. We had no clue that you'll come in this form. I don't know how that cook hit you. And Swami said, don't worry, don't worry. This is normal for me. This is normal for me. This is common. I mean, it happens with me all the time. For devotee's sake, I can do anything. I can undergo anything. Don't worry about it. Swami said, that person is a fool. Don't worry about it. And when this conversation was happening with Kantamagaru and this lady who was possessed, other people didn't understand anything. They were wondering, what is this conversation? They thought that maybe Kantamagaru's husband came back. Husband is speaking through this lady, you know, because husband was no more there, and probably husband want to be part of this function. Maybe his soul is there somewhere wandering, you know, all these different kind of theories that were going around. Nobody understood what was going on. And now Kantamagaru was playing what to do, you know, because she felt that such a grievous a sin has been committed, and she was asking, what should I do? And that lady said, you pour coconut water on me. You pour coconut water on me. And so immediately she brought coconuts, and, you know, just like how Swami breaks two coconuts, Swami would take two coconuts in his hand and break both of them simultaneously. So she started doing that and pouring coconut water onto the head of that lady. And slowly as she did that, the lady calmed down. And as Kantamagaru was pouring coconut water, the lady cupped her hands, and the water started collecting in her palm. And after a while, this lady gave this palm full of water to Kantamagaru to drink. And Kantamagaru took that water. And she says, I don't know how to explain to you, but the moment I drank that water, all sorrow just disappeared. All that guilty feeling, all that feeling of, oh my God, what a wrong thing has happened. Everything just disappeared. I just became normal, became fine. And as this was happening, there were calls for Kantamagaru to come to the stage, because they're saying the Upanayanam ceremony is almost over. You know, you have to come and you have to put yellow rice, akshatam, on the boy. What are you doing? You come fast. You know, those calls were coming from the stage. And now Kantamagaru was calm. Suddenly, she felt that the mistake has been pardoned. And when she started feeling normal, that lady also became normal. Just a few minutes ago, she was speaking strangely and she was behaving strangely, but she became absolutely normal. And then Kantamagaru went back to the stage and everybody dispersed and they went, and she continued with the Upanayanam ceremony, and the function went on very smoothly. She ensured that everyone who had come were given gifts and they were sent off very warmly. All that happened, and she completed all the work, and she rushed to Puttaparthi because Swami had told, next day you come here, I will do the Gayatri Upadesham. And so when Bhagavan saw her the next morning, Swami immediately called her. And now Swami started describing about the function. Swami started saying, I know it went on very nicely. It was a nice function, very nice. It was a grand function. So many people had come. And Swami started mentioning all the names of the people who had come, the ministers and the important people. It was almost as if Swami was there. And Swami was feeling very happy, very happy. I'm very happy. And even as Swami was saying all this, suddenly to Kantamagaru, it struck about that snake incident, and she started saying, Ayo Swami. And Swami said, hey, don't speak anything. No need to speak. Swami realized, she suddenly remembered that. Swami said, it's okay, don't worry. Swami said, Anta Mamule. Same language, same thing that Bhagwan had told through that lady. Now Swami told her, all this is normal for me. For the devotee's sake, I can do anything. All this is normal for me. And Kantamagaru was hearing the same words again. And she asked Swami, when did you come? Just like she had asked Swami there during the function, she had asked that old lady. Swami said, I came early in the morning. I was there when you did that garlanding to the photo. I was there from then on. I was there. I was taking care. And then Swami was very happy. Swami told her to take namaskar, to touch his feet. And as Kantamagaru bowed down and touched his feet, Swami placed his hand on her head. And Swami said, Nagasai Ashrivadamulu Nipai Unnai. The blessings of a Nagasai is always there on you, Swami said. And Bhagwan then told her, you come tomorrow morning, ask the boy to wear the same dress. The dress that he was wearing for the sacred function, you know, wearing the dhoti and the angavastram. Ask him to come with the same dress, dressed for the upanayanam to be done. And Swami told her, you come to the other room. There used to be one room where Bhagwan used to have his food opposite to his living room towards East Prashanti. Swami said, you bring your boy and come there. And the next morning, when she took her son and went there, Swami very warmly called the boy. Swami manifested yellow rice. He created yellow rice and poured on the head of that boy. Swami gave that boy prasadam. Mother Ishwarama was there, 1964. And she was wondering, what is all this happening? Why is this boy not in white dress and a normal dress and come with all this paraphernalia? And Swami said, no, see, this boy, I'm going to do his thread ceremony. I'm going to give him Gayatri Upadesham. And Swami explained to Isharama all about the boy and Kantamagaru. And then Swami called this boy near to whisper the Gayatri Mantra into his ear. That is how initiation is done for Upanayanam. Gayatri Mantra is chanted and it is chanted into your ear. But when Swami called the boy, strangely, Swami told Kantamagaru to go down. Swami told her, you go down. There was another lady, Lakshmi Devamma, around. Swami called her. And in the presence of Lakshmi Devamma, Swami gave Gayatri Upadesham to this boy. In fact, this boy is so blessed to be initiated into Gayatri Mantra by Bhagavan himself. There are so many occasions when Swami has conducted mass Upanayanam ceremonies. It happened every now and then. Swami would conduct these ceremonies right from the 60s. Because every child should know that their its indelible connect is only with the divine. And Swami called this boy close and Swami chanted the Gayatri Mantra into his ear in the presence of not Kantamagaru, but Lakshmi Devamma. Oh,
తత్సవితుర్వరేణ్యం వర్గో దేవస్య ధీమహి ధియో యో నః ప్రచోదయాత్.
So Swami initiated this boy into the Gayatri Mantra. And as I mentioned, Swami did it in the presence of another lady, Lakshmi Devamma. And when I asked Kantamma Garu, why did Swami do this? On one hand, when you were in your village, Swami said, ask this boy to take Matribhiksha from you. You do the whole ceremony early in the morning when no one is there. Just you, my photo and the boy. And now when in real life Bhagwan was doing, Swami told Kantamma Garu to go down. And in the presence of another woman, Swami wanted this ceremony to be done. And that is when Kantamma Garu revealed that apparently Lakshmi Devamma did not have children, and she always was sad that she did not have this blessing. And Swami, knowing her heart, wanted her to have the privilege of performing the thread ceremony of a child. And she loved this child of Kantamma Garu. The various dimensions in which the Lord operates is beyond the ken of any human. In fact, this reminds me of an incident that happened hundreds of years ago. There was a kind-hearted 50-year-old woman belonging to a low caste. Her name was Dhanya. And it was seen that she was talking to a 5-year-old Brahmin boy with great love. And it appeared as though she was seeking something from that boy. And it seemed the boy gave her a firm commitment, whatever she asked, and she left the place with her eyes moist. Dhanya was a poor midwife who attended to the delivery of the boy's mother when this boy was born. For some reason, she had developed an inexplicable emotional bond with that boy, having been there when the boy came onto earth. She always felt very closely connected with that boy. She felt that this boy was everything for her, that he would protect her in her times of need. So when the boy was 5 and it was decided to do the thread ceremony of the boy, the boy's elder brother was advising this young boy about the implication of the ritual, the significance, and told him about the code of conduct that has to be followed once you are invested with this thread. He told him about the Matru Bhiksha, which is an important ritual. The boy has to receive the first cup of rice from his mother and get her blessings first. And every mother feels very proud to do this, to give that first arm, first offering to the new sannyasa. So when the elder brother was narrating about this ritual, this boy said, "But I will receive the first bhiksha from Dhanya." The boy said, "I have given my word to her." Now the elder brother was very surprised, taken aback. He said, no, that is not possible. We are from an Orthodox family. If we allow Dhanya to come near you, we will lose respect among the pandits, among the high caste people in the village. We cannot do this. Then the boy immediately said, "Everybody, including elders, told Sri Ramachandra not to leave for the forest in the Ramayana. But Rama had promised his father that he will abide by the decision to go to the forest as per the boon that father had given to Queen Kaikeyi. To keep up the word of the father, King Rama went to forest. In the same way, I have given my word to this lady that I will treat her as mother during the function, during the ceremony. She will be my mother. If you don't allow that to happen, then I don't deserve to have this sacred thread, because if I can't keep up my word, then I don't deserve to be invested with this sacred thread." But the brother was not convinced. The day of thread ceremony arrived, and there was this auspicious playing of the sacred instruments and chanting of mantras. And the elder brother thought that the boy will just go with the flow of the ceremony and not disrupt anything. The time came for Matru Bhiksha, and all the ladies and the boy's mother were ready to offer the alms to the boy. But the boy, with a small bag in his hand, proceeded towards Dhanya. Dhanya was standing in a remote corner. The boy went straight to her . And it was this lady who offered rice and fruits to this affectionate child. All the pandits, they were all looking aghast. All the ladies were standing in amazement. The boy, prostrated before Dhanya, received the first bhiksha from that so-called low-caste woman. It was a time when there was so much of untouchability in Indian society. And Dhanya, with tears in her eyes, blessed the child. And she was fulfilled, because this was her only desire in life. Quite unexpectedly, while everyone thought that this is going to become a major issue and everybody is going to raise a hue and cry about the incident, the chief pandit there appreciated the child for living up to his word, Satyavak Paripalanam. Since the boy had given word to Dhanya that he will treat her as her mother, no matter what, he lived up to that promise. In fact, there was a silent revolution that happened in that small village in West Bengal. And the boy was Gadadhar. Gadadhar, who later on became Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa. Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa fulfilled that wish of that woman. Even as the mother was happy that the son was getting the thread ceremony done, Ramakrishna Paramahansa knew the heart of Dhanya. In the same way, we can never understand, when we can't understand the acts of great men, how can we ever understand the acts of the Divine Himself? And so, while it looked very odd to everyone that Swami sent Kantamma Garu down and called Lakshmi Devamma for the function, there was a divine drama that was being played out. And Kantamma Garu was happy because for Kantamma Garu, Swami was everything. For her, whatever Swami wants is perfect. And Lakshmi Devamma was happy because her old dream of having a son got fulfilled. And now what happened to that snake? In fact, after the function itself, Kantamma Garu picked that snake and with prayers did offer puja to that snake, and she allowed that snake to flow into the river. There was a river near her place called Gosthani. This is a river that merges into the Bay of Bengal. There is a legend how this river came into being. Apparently, the celestial cow Kamadhenu gave birth to a baby, a calf, and the celestial eagle Garuda came and took away that calf, and Kamadhenu was running after Garuda, running after to protect her calf, and as she was doing that, there was milk pouring from her udder, and it is these streams of milk which transformed into a river, and that is the river called Gosthani. Into this sacred river which flows near her village, Kantamma Garu let that snake flow into, the snake that had the mark of Krishna. She worshipped the snake with kumkum and vermilion and everything. And it is so significant when Bhagwan blessed her and said, Nagasai's blessings are there with you. In fact, it's very interesting that it was during that time that Bhagwan had also consecrated Nagasai temple in Tamil Nadu. On November 23rd, 1960, on his birthday, Swami had said, for more than 20 years now, you have been seeing the light, but you are not benefiting from the warmth. You are not able to come near. But there will come a day when you will give up your doubt and delusion and recognize the way to peace and happiness. Swami had said, believe me, this Puttaparthi is soon going to become a Tirupati. Thousands of yogis and sadhus and spiritual aspirants will be coming here in future years, and they will be deriving solace and salvation. The re-establishment of Sanatana Dharma will emanate from here. Swami had mentioned on his birthday discourse in 1960. Swami started this task of re-establishing Sanatana Dharma by consecrating idols and temples at various places, because these are powerhouses of faith. Bhagwan inaugurated and blessed many bhajan centers for promoting satsang and sadhana. Swami inspired people to conform to the dharmic path by listening to his messages. He went to nook and corner of South India, assured the poor, the downtrodden, the forsaken humanity with his words, why fear when I am here? And it was during this period that the first temple to be consecrated in Tamil Nadu after this declaration of Bhagwan's mission was the Nagasai Mandir at Coimbatore. This Sai Mandir at Coimbatore got the name as Nagasai Mandir because Shirdi Sai Baba had given darshan to countless devotees there as a cobra which rose up from a heap of flowers, which listened to bhajans for hours together and even posed for a photograph before disappearing. That miracle had taken place in 1963 and from then on, 1943, and from then on people have been offering worship to that huge anthill in that place. And beyond that, during in those days, everything was a forest area. And later on, devout people of the area came together and they built a new temple for Shirdi Sai Baba. And after the construction was over, this Baba, this temple on Shirdi Sai, the trustees of the temple, they came to Puttaparthi and they invited Bhagwan to come to Coimbatore and consecrate this idol of Shirdi Sai. And Bhagwan had conceded to their request. Swami started from Puttaparthi, alighted at Bhavani Sagar Dam, stayed for 2 hours there and reached Coimbatore on 26th of February 1961. The loving devotees there, they had decorated a cart, a bullock cart, into a beautiful temple chariot. We are talking about 60s, you know, those you didn't have the kind of jeeps and cars that were seen much later. So for Bhagwan, they had made this beautiful temple chariot and they installed the marble image of Shirdi Sai in that famous Nagasai Mandir. And when Bhagwan went to that shrine, before installing the idol, Swami created a Shri Chakram, this copper plate with mystical symbols, and Swami placed it on the pedestal. Swami manifested precious gems, diamonds, emeralds, rubies, pearls, blue stones and poured at the consecration of the sacred site. And then Swami installed and empowered that idol. And on that day, Swami said, this day deserves to be recorded in letters of gold because it is rare that an avatar installs the idol of another. Rare that divinity installs the idol of another form of the divine. Swami said, I myself find it rather amusing. Of course, Rama installed the Shivalingam at Rameshwaram before he started out for Sri Lanka for the extermination of the evildoers. And Swami said, now there is no question of extermination. Now my task is only dharmasthapana, only establishment of righteousness. And as I enter onto that avatara karya, that task of taken upon myself, taken upon by the avatar, I am also installing this idol prior to that task, Swami had said. Just like Rama had installed Shivalinga before he went to Lanka for the peace of the world to establish, that was the beginning of the end of the evil of Ravana. Here Swami is saying, I have installed the statue of my previous incarnation and from now starts this process of re-establishment of dharma. And this has happened, as I mentioned, in 1961. And it was during this period, 1964, Swami comes in the form of this cobra to the Upanayanam ceremony of Kantamagaru's son. And when she comes later to Prashantinilayam, Swami tells her that you have the blessings of Nagasai with you. For Kantamagaru, knowing Swami is such an invaluable blessing, she always is in tears when she says how lucky we are that we could know Swami, we could come to him, we could talk to him, we could be there with him. How fortunate we are to be born as humans, to be contemporaries of the avatar. having witnessed these leelas of the divine, having witnessed these moments of divine revelations, for Kantamma garu, life was nothing but only serving Swami. And that is how I mentioned to you in the previous episode, how even when she was given the post of MLC, Member of Legislative Council, she gave up that post and she said, I will just do Sai work. And she came and she stayed in Prashantinilayam and she started serving in the canteen, looking after the ladies' section of the South Indian canteen. And that is what she has done for years together. God can come in any form. And as Swami said, all this is normal for me. She was worrying that Swami was hurt. And Swami said, no. God can do anything for His devotees. In fact, when we think of the Lord as the one who is Nagabhushana, who is adorned with the snake, who takes upon Himself the poison, there are innumerable such instances where Bhagavan has given such revealing experiences to people and strengthen their faith and bolster their being so that their lives become a saga of sacrifice. And Kantamma garu at 85 still is a living example of what faith and love and conviction can do and how one can sanctify their lives if they have their priorities right and if they have their faith intact. Later on, Bhagwan rewarded her by coming to her village, and that happened the next year, 1965. That's another very beautiful story. Out of so many devotees who were asking Bhagwan to come to their homes, Bhagwan chose to go to a little village in the Krishna district, a little village where Kantamma garu served and sanctified her life, sanctified her penance by staying in a house. So how did this trip materialize? How did she feel Bhagwan's omnipresence? How did Bhagwan make that trip a very memorable one? And what were the lessons that Swami taught her and through her to all of us during that trip? We'll come to that in the coming episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm really grateful to Bhagwan for this opportunity to share with you the stories of such souls, such fantastic servitors of the Lord. As we listen to them, let this recharge our beings. Let this reaffirm in us the power of continuous surrender to the Lord. Let us always depend on Him and Him alone for everything and lead a life that brings a smile on His face. I will leave you with that beautiful bhajan where we adore Bhagwan as Nagabhushana, Nagabharana, Nandishwara. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Nandishwara, he natara.
Raja, 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 Ra
ರಾಜಾ ಹರಿನಾರಾಯಣ
ಹರಿನಾರಾಯಣ